taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Welcome, everyone.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, depending on the part of the world that you're listening from. I'm Shia.
I'm Ariel.
And the name of the program is Being Here, and we're going to talk about intimacy today.
Intimacy is such an important part of one's life. If you're not intimate, as in feeling close with, first of all, yourself, you are not going to be able to be intimate with others. So we'll be looking at what it takes to be intimate, and of course, our theme is always having to do
with being in the moment. And Ariel and I will finish each other's sentences. So when we do, please don't offend yourself. It isn't an if we do.
It's a when we do.
Now, here's the thing. Listening is the key to getting in the moment. Most of us listen to see whether we agree, disagree, or already know what's being said.
Now, let's take a look at a love relationship. Shia and I have been married for more than 20-some years.
23.
And if we expect we're going to know what the other person is saying right away and not listen to our partner, there is no intimacy. So listening
is critical to intimacy. That was very good, because I got a little lost wondering where you were going.
Well, that's one of the things about listening. When you listen, you have to drop your agenda.
Where you're going, what your point of view is, to take on another's point of view, to actually hear what they're saying from their point of view. And that's actually quite intimate.
We were speaking with a couple today from Berlin, and it was really exciting to see what would happen when one of the partners, who was a little nervous about some life choices they were making, was willing to step into and really listen to the partner who was more sure of herself and follow her lead. So there's really something about dropping your perspective and really hearing your partner. We're going to talk about partners right now, but of course it could be your colleague, it could be your child, it could be anybody else. But listening to your partner's perspective, taking it on as if it's yours, and that really makes the power of two people so much stronger than you can be on your own.
I want to go back to listening for a second.
Please.
See, this program today can transform your life today during this program. What happens is, if you actually listen to what's being said without judging what's being said, without comparing it to what you know, but hear what's being said from our point of view, it will pull you into the moment. And the moment is this magical place where transformation is a byproduct of your getting into the moment. And what gets you into the moment better than anything we know is actually listening to hear what somebody else is saying from their point of view. Non-judgmentally, non-preferentially, and not to prove something.
Now, actually, this non-preferential, non-judgmental way of approaching things really is most valuable with yourself to begin with. Most of us are incredibly critical, if we tell the truth,
of ourselves.
And
we
then,
work on ourselves incessantly. We the internal conversation that we listen to is constantly finding fault with how we do things.
It's interesting. We met a couple on Monday night, and the fellow was a teacher of a skill his wife wanted to learn, and they were having a very difficult time with her learning this skill set. And he said, oh, I'm sure you think that I should teach her. And we said, well, not necessarily, because you are hard on yourself, and she is connected to you. You're likely to be harder on her than you would be on anybody else. It will be more challenging for the two of you to have a satisfying learning situation. Additionally, she was very busy trying to prove that she wasn't less or stupid, so it was hard for her to accept any correction from him because it went into the proof category that there was something wrong with her, that perhaps she wasn't his equal. So one of the challenges in listening to each other is the prejudices you have against yourself that, gee, you might be stupid or somebody might perceive you as stupid, or if you're being hard on yourself, as soon as you connect up with somebody, they are your next fixer-upper project, just like you try to fix up yourself when you're doing that. If you want to really have intimacy, it's really important that we talk about the three principles of transformation.
See, our approach is not psychological. It's not problem-solution-oriented. It's about discovering how to get into the moment and live from being present to your life as it's showing up in each moment. Our approach is anthropological. It's not psychological. So we don't want to fix anybody, and we promise you we won't try to change you or fix you or make you better. Now, I don't know that you can stop trying to change you, fix you, or make you better, but now this leads into the three principles. First principle is anything you resist persists, grows stronger, and dominates your life. So if you think you need to fix you up or change you to make you a better person in any way, then that's something you're resisting, being the way you are. And it will, according to the first principle, keep it persisting and growing stronger. And if you look at your life, it probably does persist and grow stronger, those things you want to change.
So let's assume that some of you listening today are interested in having more intimacy with your significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, your significant other, or you're hoping to create a significant other. There's a really high likelihood that there's something that you disagree with or you don't like about that person, the way they're relating, or the way the two of you are relating. If you resist whatever that aspect is about the way you relate or about that person, the more you resist it, the more it will dominate your relationship so that you cannot have true intimacy.
Right. So the first principle is anything you resist persists. The second principle says that in each moment, you can only be exactly as you are in that moment. So it's not you prefer to be different, but you can only be exactly as you are in that moment. Now, that relates to the first principle in that if you're being a certain way, in that moment, that's the only way you can be. So to beat on yourself, to resist being the way you are, perpetuates it. Let's go to the third principle now. Anything that you allow to be exactly as it is, you see it and allow it to be exactly as it is, it completes itself. So, if there's a behavior pattern that you discover that you have in relationship to relationship or relationship to intimacy, and you just see it and don't try to change it or fix it or do anything about it, but just notice it, that's enough for it to complete itself. Now, if you try to do something about it, it will stay the same because anything you resist, that means do something about to try to change or fix, will be perpetuated, will grow stronger, will last longer, will dominate your life.
Now, I know some of you are saying, but My communication with my husband, for instance, is not what I would like it to be. I need to do something to fix it or change it.
I'll tell you what to do then.
Okay, let's hear it.
Listen. Actually listen to what your husband is saying rather than try to get him to see life the way you see life.
We are not talking about the futility of self-improvement. We are talking about the magic of transformation.
See, transformation is not change. Change is linear. Change is directed. Change is goal-oriented. It's about improving. It's about getting somewhere. It's not about being where you are. It's about getting to some desired outcome from what you already know, from your mind, from your list of requirements and preferences. Now, transformation, on the other hand, is not going somewhere. It's not goal-oriented. It's about being where you are in each moment. Now, the interesting thing about the moment, it keeps changing. Transformation includes change in that the moment keeps changing. Every moment is new, is new, is new, is new. There are no the same moments. That's why it's difficult to apply and work on your relationship by what happened in the past.
In fact, if you let go of the past, you may discover something totally and completely new in this moment of now.
But you might have to forgive. You might have to forgive your past. Forgiveness, the dictionary definition of forgiveness, is to give up the right to punish. It's to have as though the debt never occurred. When you forgive a debt, it's like there was no debt. You need to be willing to forgive yourself for your past and your partner for whatever they did or didn't do.
Awareness. Our definition is a non-judgmental seeing of something. An awareness is a lot like the radiant heat of the sun. And things that have been stuck in the way you relate is like ice. It's something frozen in time. And simply exposing this frozen thing to your awareness is enough to dissolve the complexity of challenging and mechanical behaviors. So this is just the very first dip into this subject of intimacy. We are really happy that you're with us here today, and we are going to be looking at some of the things today that are more of the keys for having intimacy and some of the key things that destroy it. So come on back after the break
and join us for
Being Here.
All right.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
improve your spiritual well-being, and experience a new way of looking at spirituality and wellness. Tune into Spiritual Evolution with spiritual counselor, healer, and animal communicator, Kelly Marie. Each week, Kelly and her guests explore spiritual problem solving and connecting balance between the body and spirit. Spiritual Evolution with Kelly Marie, broadcast every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 7th Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spiritual Evolution, expanding the boundaries and broadening the vision of spirituality through inspiration and education.
The last great frontier is the magnificent mystery of the mind. Abundant evidence demonstrates that we have far more talents than we realize, and that our minds are exceptional instruments we can learn to use more fully, just as we learn to play a piano or a clarinet. Tune in to The Music of Your Mind, Living the Extraordinary, Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the 7th Wave Network, and learn more about how you can hear the wonderful music of your mind.
Awaken Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everyone.
Yes, welcome back.
Intimacy is our theme today, and one of the real keys to intimacy is building a sense of trust with your partner, and that requires, first of all, being honest with yourself, because if you're not honest with yourself, you're going to agree to do things that you have no intention of doing, and then...
with your partner, and you will create an atmosphere of mistrust.
And an atmosphere of disappointment. It takes so little to tarnish a relationship, because it's so easy to disappoint your partner, because if you take a look and tell the truth, you've disappointed yourself
so many times that, you know, you don't even like to give your word to do something anymore because you're afraid you won't keep it, like losing 10 pounds or stopping smoking or drinking or whatever, anything that you've said you were going to do and didn't do. And people grow weary of giving their word and then not keeping it, so they stop giving their word. In a relationship, though, in an intimate relationship, your trust is critical.
Now, that's not like to make you all concerned, so you're like, oh my gosh, I've tarnished my relationship. There's a great buffer-upper, something that will buff the tarnish off. You ready?
Three words.
I
am
sorry.
See, she said it.
If you know it and you say it from your heart, if you realize that you blew it, and you will blow it. Everybody blows it. Everybody has good intentions or things intercede. And if you realize that you have done something or not done something, because maybe you said, hey, I'll pick up the dry cleaning and you forget, if you have done something or not done something and you own up to it, with, of course, the intention that it's not something that's going to happen again, if you're really honest about it, it really sweeps away the tarnish on the relationship. In fact, you can even feel closer afterwards, although I wouldn't do that as a device to foster closeness in your relationship, because if
right.
you do it often enough, pretty soon people are saying, uh-huh, fine, enough already. Hey, we have a caller on the line. Ellen, you there?
I am. I'm right here. Hi, guys.
Hi, Al.
Hi, Al.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm great. I've been listening to the show. It's great stuff. So thank you for your insights. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
It would really be strange if you weren't listening to the show when you called in.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been intimate with it. I could walk in and out and do other things, but I've been really there listening.
Good.
Good.
Do you have a question today or just something you want to share? What's up?
I have a question. Does intimacy with my partner has been great, has been really been great. I've been really having fun with my husband. He's probably listening. Hi, honey. And what I'm intrigued with is The synopsis for the show says that the intimacy also includes, you know, the ordinary, mundane, everyday moments of your life. You could have intimacy like driving in your car and waiting at a red light or doing my laundry. And that to me is very exciting because in the culture I grew up with, intimacy was very private. I've just got in touch with it listening to you. It's a very private, like, exclusive thing that happens between two special people or, you know, people that are close to you. So bringing it out in the broader, spectrum, is a really new concept for me, and I'm loving it. So I would love for you to speak more about
Well, I have something for you, Al.
Okay.
See, there's life puts demands on us.
Whether it's, we'll use your example, the stoplight turns red.
Right.
It demands, given the structure, that you stop your car and wait till it turns green.
Exactly. So you can either surrender to the fact that the light has turned red and you cannot go any further, even though you wish to, or you can succumb to it. If you surrender...
As if... Stopping is your idea, having really nothing to do with the red light, but or that it was you're the author of the light turning red.
You are the author of your life when you surrender to how your life is showing up, or you can succumb.
Where
you succumb, you're the victim of the red light. Oh, I wanted to get there, and this now is stopping me. It's an impediment in my life. It's a problem. It's a barrier. Rather than realizing that you have a choice of either embracing your life as it shows up or you become the victim of your life as it shows up. One, you surrender to it as though it's your idea and you agree with yourself to have a wonderful time with it. The other,
yes,
it's somebody else's idea imposed upon you from the outside and you'll do it, but you'll make them pay.
Now, interesting. I love your mundane example, Ellen, because it's perfect. Here you are at this traffic light, and what you resist persists and takes longer. It
mm-hmm.
feels like it's forever.
Right.
And you can't be anywhere other than you are at that moment. You can only be at that light. Third principle, anything you allow to be completes itself. Now, I'm not talking about eventually it turns green. I'm talking about at your experience of your life is only the moment you're currently in. So you can be sitting at a traffic light having a minute of misery, an internal conversation, or...
About how you'd wish it was different than it is.
You can actually... Be there. It's amazing what you can see if you're actually looking around you, even in the, quote, mundane moments. Now, a lot of people, Ellen, want to improve their relationship. I love that you said, hi, honey, to your honey. And it never occurs to them that how they approach the traffic light bleeds over
into how they approach their relationship. See, if you're in a hurry to get somewhere... If you're not present at the traffic light because you're thinking about all the other things you got to do today, then when you're with your honey, you're not going to be with your honey. Your body may be close, but you're going to be thinking about all the things you got to do tomorrow.
I mean, I'm going to ask you a very personal question.
Good.
Have you ever found yourself in an intimate, physical, like sexual moment with your honey, and you found your mind racing about what you have to do tomorrow or what you didn't get done today?
Yes.
Don't sound so embarrassed. It's true of everybody.
Yeah, I have.
Well, what we're talking about is that you can train yourself on a day-to-day basis, moment-to-moment basis, so that when you're with your honey, it's far easier to accept the regard, which is French for clear seeing,
looking at
another person. If you really tell the truth, when you have your honey's full attention on you, it's intense.
It is.
And do things to try to bleed
deflect
off,
it.
Deflect the intensity of the moment. So the more you can be there in the mundane things, the more you build a tolerance for the pleasure of being with another being.
Wow, that's fantastic. You know, you answered my, I had another question, and you just answered that. You know, just...
What was that question?
If... I've heard you guys say before, how you do anything is how you do everything. So I was wondering whether the intimacy in my Monday things, if I get practiced in, you know, really being there for my laundry and the stoplights, will that bleed off into my intimate moments with you know, my personal moments?
Every
as well.
Aspect of your life. But you make a mistake. You say my personal moments as if the laundry isn't one of your personal moments.
That's true.
See, anything that's happening in your life in this moment is your life in this moment. And this moment is all there is. You know, Monday night of this past week, we did an evening workshop in New York City, which we do on every Monday night that we're in the New York area. And a man came over, and he spoke with us. It was his first time there, and he was talking about how, well, we didn't really understand, because he's had transformations happen in his life, he said. And as if what happened in the past made any difference to his mental state in this current moment. See, if you're not present in this moment, this is the only moment you have.
Mm-hmm.
The only moment there is. So if you're not present in this moment, you're not present. And that you've done workshops and read books and done things to improve your life, if you're upset in this moment, all that stuff didn't mean anything. Because the only thing that matters is what's happening right now.
Mm.
Now, if you bring that to your mundane chores of life, you will discover the nuances and the subtleties and the blessings of just seeing the tree out of your window, or the bird flying, or the blossoms of the flowers.
Or the font that is used on the document on your desk. You know, it's interesting, though, Ellen, you said we answered your second question without your asking. Your universe is so responsive to you. You don't have to talk inside yourself about what you want. All you have to do is take a look around. Your universe is going to be answering you with answering the questions you have and also taking care of you. I really love that it's happened this way for you today.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks.
So thanks for calling in today. We really appreciate having you here.
It's been really fun and enlightening. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure. Thank
okay.
you for calling in.
You're very welcome.
Oh, excellent. So intimacy, the subject is just warming up. We have more to go. We're very happy you're all here being intimate with us today. We can actually feel it here, even though you're there, how it's happening. So we'll be back shortly. Come on back and don't miss
being here.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive
receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Discovering Our True Nature with host Brandon Cohen takes you on a journey into consciousness with guided meditations and a discussion which supports connection with your true self. Join Brandon every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time on the 7th Wave Network and discover your true nature.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's 7th Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Listening on a higher dimension. 7th Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everyone.
Ariel and I were just very intimate on that last break, but I can't tell you what it was about.
Oh, sure you can. You guys should just be really glad radio is not smell of something, rather, because I'm sorry, I have gas. How's that for an intimate moment? So here we are.
I'm at the far end of the room.
I have to tell you that when you have a partner, they burp and they have gas from time to time. So there we go. Okay.
How intimate was that?
That was good.
Okay.
Now.
You wanted to talk about our book.
Oh, yeah. You know what? We listened to the ads between the show, and they were saying, join award-winning authors. And we were like, yes.
Oh, that would be us.
We forgot. We have awards. We won the best book of the year for men, women, and relationships by Nautilus for our book, How to Create a Magical Relationship.
And we also had the Eric Hoffa Book Award for How to Create a Magical Relationship.
So, look, if you are looking for more intimacy, you should get that book if you don't have it already, How to Create a Magical Relationship. We also have it as an online download on our website, transformationmadeeasy.com. So you can order through Amazon for the book. You can order through us, or you can order the download through us, or you can order it through your regular bookstore. The more you discover the ins and outs of being intimate with yourself first, it gets easier and easier with a partner. One of the things I wanted to just briefly touch upon before we go to our next caller, because we do have a caller waiting, is comparison. It's really important that you do not compare your ability to be intimate with anybody else. Because, first of all, you don't know what...
How do you see that, darling?
Well, when you compare yourself and how you're doing to others, you're not actually being here. That's change. Transformation is about seeing what is, not in comparison to what you would prefer and not in comparison to others, but really being with what is. And if you're with it in a non-judgmental manner, anything that is mechanical or old or not working will simply fall away and fluff off all on its own. Hi. Do we have Linda on the line?
Hello?
Hello?
Linda?
Hi, how are you?
We're good. How are you?
Great. Great. Nice to talk to you.
Great. It's very nice.
Yeah. And I have to say, your book, How to Create a Magical Relationship, is really one of my favorite books. It's really beautifully written and really a terrific, helpful book.
Thank you so much. That's very sweet.
Oh, thank you.
So it's helped you in your relationship?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
You say all the right things, Linda. What is your question? Or
do you have one?
You have one.
Well, sure I do. You know, I found, you know, intimacy is, I guess it can be difficult at times. But what I found is that sometimes, like, you have a really great conversation with a friend or maybe even a, like my husband or something like that, but then sometimes there's the conversation's been so intimate and so friendly and kind of revealing that soon after that, or maybe the, you know, the next moment or something, there's this awkwardness that is sort of felt by me, at least. And I'm just wondering if that's just something that I am left with sometimes, or if that's just a common feeling or interaction.
Well, it's hard to tell because I don't have enough specifics, and I'm not sure if the awkwardness is because you've come to the end of a topic and you don't know
where to go
from there, or if you've said something that you then discover you're embarrassed about.
Ah.
See, I think embarrassment is the thing. The other thing is this. In our growing up, most of us have not had examples of people who were truly intimate in the way they related, where there was an honesty and a matter-of-factness about sexual, sensual things. And so there's an awkwardness about talking about things like pleasure and what pleasures you. And so if you do it, then the aftermath of your saying something is this awkward embarrassment that you even said it because you were raised amongst people who didn't.
I mean, even...
Is that accurate?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Well, I just wanted to, I didn't want anybody out there thinking I was overstepping my bounds by saying that, because I basically don't know you on this call.
No, we definitely, in my household that I was growing up in, no, we didn't discuss things about intimacy. I mean, it was just, it was very much behind closed doors.
And not just the subset called intimacy. I mean, take a look. I just talked about having gas. I mean, if somebody farts on an elevator, I guarantee you somebody doesn't go, "It was me." Hello, I'm sorry.
My fault.
My fault. You guys might want to get off on the next floor. I mean, they're whole taboo subjects that we've been taught are not okay. And then we learn a climate of not okayness with ourselves.
And then we, you know, the way people function and initially as children is to learn the rules of behavior and impose them on ourselves so the big people, the grown-ups, don't impose it upon us. So a number of years ago, our nephew, when he was about 2.5, 3 years old, his mother, who's a pediatrician, told Ariel, "You know, I don't know what to do about Gavin. He's giving himself time out, and I wanted time out to be one of these special things for when he was especially bad. But now he says, 'Mommy, I pulled a cat's tail. I'm giving myself time out.' Or I find him on the stairs, and he's sitting there. I said, 'What are you doing?' He says, 'I'm giving myself time out. I climbed on the coffee table.'" And so we do that. We impose the rules on ourselves, and we forget that we ever started that as a child. It becomes normal. So we inhibit our own self-expression, our own sense of well-being, because it's not okay to be that intimate.
The other thing is, it may not occur to you in those moments of awkwardness to just say the next thing, which is, "Gosh, I'm feeling awkward all of a sudden."
Oh, yeah. No, I would never think to say that.
But now you have that as a possibility. Lots of times when people get lost or tongue-tied or they're feeling awkward, it doesn't occur to them to simply report in a non-judgmental manner of themselves, simply report what's going on. How, oh, wow, Linda, all of a sudden I'm feeling awkward.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? Mm. You feel awkward, and then you start looking at what you think you did wrong.
Right.
So it's not like you did anything wrong, but mm-hmm. if the thing you said is not received, if the person isn't listening to you and receiving your communication, it bounces back on you.
And another way of not listening or not receiving is if you were to say something about yourself that's revealing, it's very possible that in me it could trigger something similar that in a nanosecond I go off and think about.
Right.
And then I leave you.
Mm-hmm.
You energetically feel it. I'm suddenly no longer intimate.
And then you start going, what did I say?
What did I do?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And
definitely.
It's very possible if you say, wow, I'm feeling really awkward. Did I say something? Or that the person will say to you, oh, no, no, just made me think of the time I...
Yeah. So that would be really helpful to say, you know, to give that person the opportunity to express themselves also.
Now, one of the things I noticed, though, too, is that you're preparing to be awkward again in the future.
Huh. How?
Well, you have the expectation of it, so you're getting tips, so yes, that would be a good thing to do, and it might be helpful to that person as well. It's obvious you're expecting to have it happen again. What if
this conversation were enough
to complete it?
What if it completed it in this conversation so you never had to do that?
Yeah, just have a look at it. Great.
There's the possibility, Linda, that there's nothing about you that you need to be embarrassed about.
There's the possibility that there's nothing that needs to be fixed, changed, improved to make you a better human being than you are right now.
Wow.
Were you listening to the earlier segment with Ellen?
Yes, I was.
One of the things that was really neat was when Shia pointed out to Ellen that she was segmenting her life into personal and everything else. And one of the things that happens as you discover a degree of being fully expressive from moment to moment is your life becomes unsegmented. It becomes whole, like holistic. And so as you learn to be with the intensity of doing the dishes or having a conversation or the gap that comes after you've completed a conversation, then what can happen is it gets easier everywhere else by extension. The more you're easy with yourself in one moment, the easier it is in the next moment.
Right. That sounds wonderful.
Now, I have a question. Did you have any other questions? Because we're about to take a break. You're welcome to come back. If that takes care of it, we're whatever is good with you.
No, that was great, and I just... thank you so much for sharing that with me, and it already feels easier.
Excellent. Really lovely having you call in today.
All right. Thank you. That's a wonderful show.
Thanks. You very much.
Right. See you later.
Tell your friends.
Bye.
We'll be back after our break, which is coming here shortly. And just want to let you know, again, that we're really enjoying being here today. So come on back.
And join us for being here.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Discovering Our True Nature with host Brandon Cohen takes you on a journey into consciousness with guided meditations and a discussion which supports connection with your true self. Join Brandon every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover your true nature. Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to intimacy and being here. I'm Arielle.
And if you're really here, it becomes intimate wherever you are.
That was Shia.
So?
My favorite guy. Hey, just if you're listening to this live and you happen to be in the New York area, tomorrow night we are doing a book signing of our book by the very same name, Being Here, Modern Day Tales of Enlightenment, at East West Books.
That's on 5th Avenue between 14th Street and 13th Street.
It's 7 o'clock in the upstairs cafe. Come meet us in person. We'd love to meet you.
Right.
And you can get a copy of our new book, Being Here.
The other thing...
It's not too late.
We're doing a workshop this weekend that will allow you to become more intimate with yourself and others. It's called The Freedom to Breathe and Art of Being a Healer. It's Friday night in New York from 7 till 10, and Saturday and Sunday from 10 till 6.
There's more information about it on our website, or you can call us up. You can get the number off our website as well. And we know you're internet-friendly because you are listening to this on the internet or from a download off the internet. So transformationmadeeasy.com is access way into the website, and you can come check out more things. If you're not on our email list, you should be already. Join us.
So those are the things we're up to this week. The other thing is there are some other things about intimacy we'd like to talk about.
Now, it was interesting talking to Linda because this came to mind for me. She was talking about having intimate moments with her girlfriends or even her husband. And it's interesting how sometimes it's easier for many of us to be more intimate with somebody who's not our partner, as in have in-depth conversations. Somehow, lots of times, people use
friends as intermediaries between them and their relationship, or they give the information to their friends rather than to their relationship. Like, I wish he would just, and rather than saying, honey, you know, I really like what you're doing, but could you do it a little lighter?
And so I think that it's really important that you be aware that you don't use your friends in a way that bleeds off what's possible between you and a partner.
Yes, because if you complain to your friends about your partner, then they give you agreement about how bad your partner, he or she, is, and then it makes it more and more difficult to heal the rifts between people. You know, relationship is like a stone polishing machine. You know, two people get into this thing called relationship, and then they bounce up against each other until the rough edges wear off, or until they decide they're never going to wear off and they leave the relationship. There is the possibility, if you bleed that energy off into other people rather than allowing yourself to be in direct communication with your significant other, that you will not have a significant other.
You know, it's not, Well, now, of course, we're talking about significant others, but it's the same with your children. It could, I remember once I went into Barney's, New York. Somebody had given us a gift of hand-blown candlesticks. And one of the candlesticks holders was so small, the opening, that you had to really shave the end of the candle down to stick it in, and it looked messy. And so I wanted to go back and see if I could exchange it or exchange the pair. And I went in, and the woman was very curt with me. She was very nasty, actually. And she said, well, why don't you just shave the candle? And I said, well, I've done that. And she said, well, here's a different color. And I said, I don't want a different color. And at this point, I got rather strong with her. And I was not kind. And she walked away, and I walked away. And I had a possibility to go to whoever else was standing around listening, or to somebody there, and complain about this person, how rude she was. And she was indeed very curt, uncourteous, and not sympathetic to something that was, at that point, for whatever reason, important to me. But I realized that regardless of how she'd been with me, it was not okay with me how I had spoken to this woman. So I tracked her down in the store, and she was sitting behind a desk. And she looked up at me like, oh, God, here it comes. I said, I need to speak to you. Do you have a moment? She's like, yes. And she was annoyed and afraid. And I said to her, I have to apologize for the way I spoke with you. It was not kind, and I really apologize. I apologize. It's not your fault. And she looked at me and she said, I'm sorry too. I'd had an altercation with a previous person who came in. It's the third time this has happened to me today. And I realized that I really wasn't there. I'm sorry too. And we were intimate. But I had to be willing to not go find somebody who was going to support me in my disgruntlement in that moment. It was important that I look to see my part. And my part in any relationship is 100% responsibility. If you want with your partner to have it be a 50-50 deal,
it'll never work.
You'll never have intimacy.
Because a relationship is 100% your responsibility.
So I did not go with the intention of having her.
So our relationship, Ariel's and mine, is 100% my responsibility.
Correct.
From my point of view. From Ariel's point of view, it's 100% her responsibility.
So I have to say, if I ever apologize to Shia, I'm not apologizing waiting for him to apologize back, or same with him and me. If he's feeling like he did something, or I feel like I did something that was counterproductive to intimacy, it was really important that we
apologize. The other thing is this: when you're in a relationship, if you're in a relationship, in order to be in a relationship with someone, you have to lay down your guard. You have to be willing to be available, and things that are abrasive in the outside world, you have shields up for to protect you. But when it's your intimate relationship, you're not as guarded. And in those instances, if your partner or you do something that's hurtful, it's much more painful because there are no filters to block it that you would normally have in your everyday interactions with people.
So you may think your partner is being just hypersensitive, but yeah, Shia and I used to joke about it. It's a little bit like the first Star Trek show, beam me up, Scotty, in order to beam somebody
aboard, they had to lower their phaser shields.
So you lower your phaser shields to have an interaction where you're actually taking the energy of the other person.
You know something?
And you can get blasted.
There are no such things called phasers.
I know.
That's all made up. But it's part of our reality.
Our culture.
Right. It's part of our reality.
I actually love that. Your culture is yours. My culture is mine. And
for anybody anywhere else in the world who hasn't watched Star Trek, we apologize for that analogy because you probably don't know what we're talking about.
But you get the gist. So that's part of what comes with listening. You can discover another person's point of view.
And thanks for joining us today.
Hey, come next week. We are talking about the art of listening. And come on back and don't
miss being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.